All right, brethren, the Song of Songs, chapter 1. The text today is verses 9 and 10. Actually, I mean verses 10 and 11. But we'll read verses 1 to 11. I think it's important that we keep ourselves current in this dialogue between the bridegroom and the bride, in these expressions of love one toward another, in the bride's confession of the excellence of his love, in the bride's confession of her own infirmities, in the bride's desire to be drawn to him, in her complete honesty in her Christian life, which is what I see. There's so much to take in this dialogue. I want you to be able to enter into this relationship personally, that this would be your relationship with your Lord, that you would see that love relationship between you and Christ to be like this, what is written in the Song of Songs of the bridegroom and of the bride. I pray that Jesus Christ would be to you that one who is altogether lovely. Know that it is very surreal to understand his expressions of love to the bride, yet she is full of imperfections. She is not faultless. And yet he sees a beauty in her that has come from himself. And so how can he not admire that beauty that is in this woman, that beauty that is in his church? Know, Christian, that this is that beauty that he should behold in you when you look at this. Because listen, we can look at him and say he is altogether lovely. Yet at the same time, we may know that we are altogether unlovely. And that there is no good in us. If there is any good in me, if there is any good in you, child of God, it is because of what he has adorned you with. The Bible says in 2 Peter, he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's made us partakers of the divine nature. He's adorned us with the precious graces, the precious jewels of heaven. I think we'll see that today. It's a glorious letter. If you would appreciate it, if you would appreciate your Lord, spend some time in this Song of Songs. Verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor, the fragrance of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, saith the bride, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, into his intimate place. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, saith the bride, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Our text today, I'm sorry, that we were in verse 9. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses last time in Pharaoh's chariots. You remember that we spoke of the thundering horse and his strength. And then the text for tonight, thy cheeks are comely with rose of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Father, help us as we open up these few verses. I pray that you would speak to us, and that it would be to your glory and honor. I pray it would be to the waxing strong
of our affections and our love for Christ. Oh God, I pray that we would understand, and that, Father, we would think upon these things, meditate upon them. Father, that our hearts and minds would assimilate to that upper world, to that other world, to that heavenly world. That your Spirit would influence us, impact our lives, be active, operate upon us, Lord. We ask in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. If you remember, from verse 5, we read of the bride's confession of her own sinful infirmities. You remember that? We read that tonight. I am black but comely, she says. And so this is the bride that talks about her comeliness, her beauty. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the sun-scorched tents of Arabia, tents of Kedar. I am outwardly sinful. I am afflicted. I am even persecuted. Full of imperfections. But on the inside, I am beautiful. Like the hangings or the curtains of Solomon's glorious palace. You remember Psalm 45:13, and if not, you should. Solomon said this, just listen, the king's daughter is all glorious within. She's perfect within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She has been adorned by the king. Christian, Christian, if you're in Christ, born again, you've been adorned by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the bride says, I am full of faults and imperfections. Yet I am beautiful to the bridegroom, to the king. And I love what she says in verse 6. She says, don't look at me because I am black. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Do not behold my faults, saith the bride. But isn't that in our nature? Isn't it in our nature to behold faults in others before we behold graces? Don't we look at faults first? Isn't it the faults we want to talk about first, about someone else? Look at their faults. Look at her faults. Look at his faults. Look what he did. Listen to what he said. How often do we speak of someone's graces? A child of God, a brother or sister in Christ. How often do we speak of that which is beautiful and comely in them? When we do speak of those things, we speak of what Christ has adorned them with. That's what we'll see today. And the bride says, don't look at my faults. Don't look at my sins. And upon that which is not comely and not beautiful. The bride says, don't look upon me in such a way, but look upon me and know that the king has set his love upon me. Which brings us to verse 10. And I wanted to read verses 5 and 6 because she declared her comeliness there. But here in verse 10, the bridegroom says, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, to the bride. So it's not the bride here who speaks of her comeliness and beauty, but it is the bridegroom who admired her and looked upon her beauty. But listen, we must know that there is no natural righteousness in us. There are no natural graces in me that God should commend me. There's nothing natural in us that's beautiful. And so in the bride, there was nothing natural. This is not natural beauty. But he beheld in her, in her face, her cheeks were adorned with jewels. So she was adorned, her neck adorned with chains of gold. What are we to understand in what we see, what he saw in his bride, but the church adorned with grace from Christ, graces from Christ, brethren? And what are we without the grace of Christ? What are we without the adornments that he has given to us? See, what the Lord Jesus sees in his church here, beloved, which is so beautiful and comely, is what he has adorned her with and lavished upon her, lavished upon his church. That's what's beautiful in the saints of God. That's the only way that Christ can look upon a fallen human and say, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. I see that one who is my love. That's how Christ looks upon us, beloved, because there is nothing beautiful or naturally comely in any of us. Nothing.
And don't focus on what is outward. In fact, Solomon says in the Proverbs, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. Human beauty wanes, but not the beauty of Christ, not the graces of Christ. That's what makes someone so beautiful to God, even comely to those in the earth. See, the church of Christ is made up of sinners, but not lost and fallen sinners who still love their sins. That's very uncomely. That's not beautiful. It's ugly. No, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of sinners who are now saints, who have been saved from their sins. That's what the church is made up of. Sinners who were estranged from God, who were enemies of God, but who are now saints of God, reconciled to God, friends of God, the spouse to God, married to God. That's what we are now. In fact, in Jude, he says, now unto him that is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, when we are handed off to the Son, you will be without spot, without wrinkle. That bride dress will be perfect white, not one wrinkle in it, not one blemish. Beloved, that's what he's comparing you for now. He is conforming you to the image of Christ. Every saved sinner is now a new creation in Christ. If you're a Christian, you are so because God from eternity past intended to save you. And because Christ, beloved, is or was willing to suffer and die for your sins. Christian, your salvation was a gift from God. It was a gift. If he had not given it to you, if he had not clothed thee with the garments of salvation, you would be unclothed. As the Lord God in the Garden of Eden took and killed an animal and clothed our first parents from their nakedness with coats of skins to cover their nakedness, to cover their sin, so we are covered in a robe of righteousness from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's so beautiful to him, what is so comely to him. So, Christian, your salvation was a gift from God. Every beautiful grace, therefore, every beautiful grace given to you, every virtue that comes from God, and which you now possess, is from him. That's what Christ, the bridegroom, so admires in his church. Look at Ezekiel 16. This is a good, I think, example of what I am talking about. When Ezekiel was commanded to cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, tell her about her sins, Ezekiel 16, tell her about her sins, son of man. He called Ezekiel son of man. Notice, verse 2, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now, this is God speaking to Jerusalem, but it's God speaking to a lost sinner as well. Now listen, verse 7, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by, saith the Lord, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Thou wast then washed I thee with water. Yea, I washed thee away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. And thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Now listen. And in thy renown, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through, notice, my comeliness. See where the beauty comes from? You were perfect, he said to Jerusalem, through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. I think that perfectly goes with what we are looking at in Song of Solomon. Isaiah 61:10, the prophet says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Every beautiful adornment, the righteousness which you possess is not your own. It's not natural. As a bride adorneth herself with her jewels, and as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, so I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Isaiah. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. The adornments of the child of God is of Christ. It's of God. It's His beauty. Proverbs 1:8 says, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be, what, the instructions from your father and mother, the instructions of the Lord, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Beloved, we are to be adorned with grace from God. Look at Ephesians, one more. Ephesians 4:22. There are others, but we'll suffice it to stop here. Ephesians 4:22. Paul says that you put off concerning the former conversation, which is ugly, which is loathsome, which is sinful, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is how the graces of Christ are given more to us. He says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's remade you. You are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are to be like your father. You know, in the book of Luke, where he says, Be ye merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Jesus says, Love your brethren as I love you. And so, beloved, that's the beauty of Christ in a human soul. Every single one of us in our own nature are fallen, sinful, corrupt, and abominable. There is nothing naturally beautiful in any of us. Again, if Christ sees any beauty in you, any beauty in I, any spiritual adornment that pleases Him, it is not of you, nor did it come from you. It is from Him. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 15.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every good grace, everything that you possess from God is of Him, and therefore, yes, beautiful. That's what Christ admired in His bride. I hope this helps you when you read of how Christ, the bridegroom, looks upon and admires His church, His bride. It ought to be convicting in us when we sin. That's not to be desired. But when Christ looks upon and admires His bride, when she is being conformed to the image of Christ, yes, full of imperfections, yes, she struggles in the world, yes, she's persecuted, yes, she's afflicted, yes, she's weak, but she's also comely. And that which is comely is from our Lord. Remember that her beauty is not her own, not natural, but she has been made beautiful by His grace. And then verse 6, we will make thee borders of gold and studs with studs of silver. If you're back there in Song of Solomon, we'll finish here. We will make thee borders of gold and studs of silver. So this is a promise from the bridegroom that he will continue to adorn his bride with jewels of gold and silver. It's a future promise that he will continue to lavish his beautiful graces upon her. And does not Christ continue to adorn his church with his wonderful gifts and graces? Should we not be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We should not be descending. Grace in us should not be waning. It should be waxing. We should be growing. We should be becoming more like Christ with every passing day. Listen, I'll tell you that that's some of the beauty that people testify of when they come here and they meet you. They meet the saints here. They see that which is lovely in you. They see the love of Christ. That's what they should see. As we grow in grace, that's what should be more conspicuous. Do you remember when Abraham sent his servant to go and find a wife for Rebekah? Do you remember that? Remember, he said, go find a wife for my daughter. And you got to go to a certain place. I don't want him marrying anybody from Canaan. So I want you to go. And he went to Laban's house. And he went. And in Genesis 24, you can listen if you're not there. I'm just going to read a few brief verses. But when he went there, you remember he went to the well. And remember, Rebekah went out to, she was herding the sheep, feeding the sheep. And in verse 16, it says, when he saw her, that is Abraham's servant, he says, the damsel was very fair to look upon. She was a beautiful girl. She was a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and she served his camels, and he just sat there wondering whether God had prospered him. But she was even more beautiful after the servant adorned her with the jewels of his master. It says there in verse 22, notice, after she had given the man water for his camels and she would run home and tell Laban, it says, it came to pass, verse 22, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Now we know that they went home there. And the servant said, I believe this is the woman that God has for my master's son. Verse 51, behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. So she was even more beautiful when she was adorned with the jewels of her master, of her servant's master, of her future husband's master, father. Beloved, Christ continues to add to the beauty of his church. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. So Christ continues to add to the beauty of his church so that she becomes even more beautiful in Christ. And Christ continues to give his people more grace. Doesn't he do that? What do these graces look like? How should this look in us? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. These are the fruit of the Spirit, but I think that you can't go wrong to think that you would have none of them without the grace of God. Look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know as well as I do, when God saves you, you're not automatically all full of the fruit of the Spirit. Beloved, you must cultivate these fruit in your own life. Beloved, you don't grow in grace with the Bible closed. You don't grow in grace without effectual, fervent prayer unto your Lord. Look also at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul here tells us to put on or adorn ourselves as the elect of God, holy and beloved, with these graces, with these virtues. But beloved, every one of these must come from God. We learn of them from the truth of the Word of God when we learn Christ. Look, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. That's compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Forgiveness is one of the most beautiful graces that God could ever adorn upon a fallen daughter or son of Adam. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, that agape love. Put it on, adorn yourself with it, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God govern, rule in your hearts, into the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. That's how it happens, beloved. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is the beauty that the Lord Jesus Christ sees in his church, that he admires in you, Christian. And these are the graces which he promises to continue to lavish upon you. I love Psalm 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Beautify. Listen, I want you to see the beauty of Christ in the saint of God. That should be you. That should be me, beloved. That humility that was in Christ, that meekness that was in Christ. Paul said, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, which he prayed would be in him. Beloved, that's that beauty. That's the borders of gold and the studs of silver that he promises to adorn this woman with, which is his church. 1 Peter 3, and we'll be done. Well, almost done. 1 Peter 3, 3. This is written to women, but it could be this could also be for us, beloved. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Let us not major on the outward, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. See that? The ornament, the jewel, the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. which is in the sight of God of great price. That's beautiful to Christ because it's from Him. And in 5:5 of 1 Peter, 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed, adorned with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Pride is ugly. Humility is comely. And then there's something finally worthy of our attention in verse 11. Just turn back there. Just briefly, I'll just comment on this. Why is this we in Song of Solomon 1:11? Why is this we will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver? Why is this we and not I? The language of love and care would seem to be coming from the bridegroom toward the bride, right? From Christ toward His church. But allow me to bring you to another reference of the Holy Scriptures, which is the same Hebrew word translated. And you can just listen. I'll just quote it to you. Genesis 1:26 says this: "Let us make man in our own image." This refers to the entire Trinity, the Godhead involved in the adorning of His church, in the adorning of this woman. It's the same word. "Let us make" is "we will make thee." It's the same word in the Hebrew. So the perfecting of the saints, the beauty of the church, is of the Godhead, the Father. It is of the Son. It is of the Holy Spirit. It is of the one true and living God. And yet all three persons of the Trinity are intimately involved. And I'll just close with 2 Corinthians 13:14. We read this the other day. Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." I pray that you would see the beauty of the New Testament church in what Solomon writes here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold, which she received from him." And then we hear, "We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. We will continue to adorn and lavish upon you the beautiful graces of God, of righteousness." And that's that beauty that the Lord sees in His church. I know it's hard to take this and think about this and think, how can there be anything beautiful in me, Lord, that you would think that I am lovely? I'll tell you that that's the right way to think, to start like that. But then to know that that's what the bridegroom says. He calls her, "Oh, my love, my daughter, and my spouse." So see this love for Christ, for His church. Yes, she's full of imperfections, but she's been made new. She is being perfected. That's the Christian life. You are being conformed every single day in your Christian life. You should be being conformed more and more to the image of Christ, unto that day when faith will be no more, and you will be without spot, blameless, presented to Him faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. It's a glorious thing, beloved. We need to enter into this. I pray that you're able to do that. Pray that I'm able to do that. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, thank you for your grace and kindness. Thank you for every good thing that we possess from Thee, O God. Father, it's like a treasure hid in the field. May we buy the field, O God. Hide the treasure, buy the field, take possession of that which You've promised us. Oh, what a pearl of great price. I pray that, Father, we would be adorned with your wonderful graces, and that when one would commend us or compliment us or give us accolades, may we tell them of a truth where the beauty really came from, and that we would know that it's not from us, but it was given to us. Oh God, may we share it, oh God. May we tell others about this wonderful Savior, our beautiful Lord. May we see others beautified with salvation, oh God. We pray for all of those that attend here, some that are transient, some come now and then, but we pray for every soul that comes in through these doors, that you would speak to them, and that it be to your honor and glory, to the salvation of their souls. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.